everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, May 5th, 2017, Cinco de Mayo. A big shout out to my lovely wife, Anne, as we celebrate today 45 years of marriage. Also a milestone weekend because our first date was even 5 years, well, it was 5 years before May 5th, that weekend when we went out to High Corbett Field and watched Jim Morrison and the Doors performing the first of two concerts that they had. The second one, I understand, a year later got kind of rowdy. Ours was, yeah, they had just released their first album. Everything was fairly cool.
Well, congratulations on your wedding anniversary.
Thank you very much, Tom. With us in studio today, we have Linda Valdez. Linda is, of course, editorial writer and columnist for Arizona's largest newspaper, the Arizona Republic. Linda, how are you?
I'm good, Bill, and happy anniversary
Thank
to you.
Thank you very much. Mayor Jonathan Rothschild is our Friday Focus interview today. Mayor, how are you?
Very good, and congratulations. A half a century,
oh my
Jim
gosh.
Morrison and Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
You must have been a wild man.
Well, and there is actually a Linda Valdez connection to the Doors concert, because Linda went to the second Doors concert,
yes,
and was almost crushed.
There was quite a little push towards the stage. I got pushed actually up on the stage.
You were
with
pushed
Morrison
on the stage, yeah. Mm-hmm. And no tear gas, but I guess things started to get pretty rowdy.
He finished the concert with the police officer on each side of him.
You know, Bill, that's Linda's story, but I've heard that she was rushing the stage to get to Jim Morrison. But
oh,
I don't know.
Goodness.
I wasn't there.
Anyway.
It's been a long time ago. Who
yes.
knows? Maybe I'm misremembering.
All right. By the way, we do our Friday shout out to our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and the Three Sonorans all support our program by prominently placing our website link on their website. All right, voting is underway, Mayor, of course, in the city of Tucson, where voters are being asked to consider a temporary half-cent sales tax increase over the next 5 years. What, in effect, does this cost a taxpayer? What would their cost be per month?
What we've calculated is for the average taxpayer in the city of Tucson, each individual, it will cost $3 per month. And the way we did that was we took the median income, subtracted out what's not taxed, in our case, food, residential rental, and all the other things that you spend money on that are not taxed for sales tax. And it comes to $3 per month per person. So what I really try to emphasize with people, and I don't know that cost has really been an issue to anybody, but what I really try to emphasize to people is for $3 a month for 5 years, you get $100 million of improved roads and a 21st century police and fire department. That's really what it's all about.
So 40% of the funds collected would go to restoring city streets and the rest to the police and fire.
Yes. And remember, close to five years ago now, we passed Proposition 409, which was $100 million for roads. And one of the things we sometimes hear is, oh, can the city do this? And we have to remind people that we've been doing it for 5 years. Proposition 409 came in under budget, ahead of schedule. We were able to do more roads than we thought we were going to be able to do, partly because of the fuel costs were lower than we estimated. And it's been a big help to the city. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have an alternative way to get this done. Somebody wrote me the other day and said, well, let's not do it this way. Let's have the city pass a gas tax. And I had to explain the city doesn't have authority to pass a gas tax. We've been trying for years to get the state legislature to increase the gas tax, and there's been no movement. If we want to get things done in the city of Tucson, we as the people of the city of Tucson have to do it ourselves. The other 60% of the money is for police and fire, and it's all for capital. It's all for vehicles, station repair, technology, and really making it so that we can be more nimble, faster, and better prepared.
Linda.
Mayor, that we now have a new state budget as of about 3 a.m. last night.
Okay.
And one of the things in there is bonding authority for the universities. They did not take money from the cities, which was Governor Ducey's original proposal. So I'm just wondering, what will that mean to Tucson for the university to be able to borrow money for capital and other improvements?
And Linda, and forgive me because I've been trying to stay with the state legislature. As you know, at this time of year, it's a little difficult.
Moves fast.
But my understanding was that that bill had been separated from the budget.
Yes.
And I wasn't sure, did they actually pass
yes,
it last night?
Yes, it passed. It
okay.
did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if...
very early in the...
About 3 a.m., I think, is when they wrapped things
in
up.
In keeping with the...
The tradition.
Yes.
The tradition.
Yes.
If the bill is the one that I thought it was, which is, I think, about $12 million next year to ASU and $10 million to U of A, and I think a smaller portion to NAU, that's a good result. We need to get money to our universities. They're in need, just as so many people are in need. But you can't do it on the backs of local government. And I am so glad that both the Democrats and the Republicans stood up. That was really the governor's proposal. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that he put money to the universities. But... it was good that it was pared back, not to take it from cities and counties. I think we need to go further. We need to go further with K-12. And I know that was some of the objections that was coming from the Democratic side of the aisle was, wait a second, you want us to do this when we haven't done what we need to do through K-12. And it was a very good point that was made, which is unless we invest in K-12, I'm not sure who we're going to put in those new university buildings. But I'm happy with the result. I'm glad that that's where it got to, and we'll move on. I haven't seen the rest of the budget.
Well, now, and if the university starts building new buildings or hiring people to do maintenance, that should help the city. That
yeah, no.
Should be a benefit.
I mean, that's why we were for the bill, and we were very clear all along. We want to see money to the universities, particularly here in Tucson, Phoenix, Tempe, Flagstaff, because that money will be it'll be jobs for people. It'll be new facilities, which will attract, hopefully, new research and excellent professors. And so that long-range goal is the right one. I wish we had a perspective that understood that if we're going to move forward in these big picture items like education, like health, that we're going to have to invest. Until we get there, we're pitting each other against each other, and that's not a healthy situation. But I'm glad that the universities were substantially successful in what they were trying to do.
790-2040 is our live line number. If you would like to speak with the mayor, he would be happy to entertain your thoughts. Getting back to Proposition 101, the opposition says, in effect, that and by the way, much of the opposition has come from outside the city of Tucson, saying, in effect, the city needs to be punished.
Yeah, I don't understand that because we're a region, and to have success as a region, the principal geographic body, which is the city of Tucson and the people there, need to be successful. We need to attract business. We need to have good roads, and we need to have good public safety. I can tell you that we've obtained the support of the chambers, the home builders, the road builders, the realtors, and of course, police and fire. And so it's just interesting to me to see this sort of last minute, which is what it is, opposition, which is really saying, two things. One, we don't want to see investment in Tucson. And two, we don't like the people who are there, so we don't want to see them be successful. But the fact of the matter is, the success is that of the citizens of Tucson and the people of Tucson. I see this as a very critical initiative because it really is the only thing that we can do as a local government. And hopefully the people of Tucson will see it that way.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. Mayor Rothschild will stick around. We'll have another segment with him. Linda Valdez is also here, 790-2040. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday at noon, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers, plus the Better Business Bureau's Scam Alert of the Month. It's all happening on Buckmaster. Our program airs from noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We have worldwide live listening podcasts and the complete show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today, Tucson's Mayor Jonathan Rothschild, and Linda Valdez is here from the Arizona Republic. And Chuck has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Chuck, how are you?
Just fine. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
I know that you and others on the council have been telling us how evil the state legislature is you know, taking away all our funds and funds. But in the last 3 years, they have risen the money that you get, the city gets, for HERF funds. It's now up to almost $80 million, which, of course, I think you just received most of that money already for this year. But my question is, what do you plan on doing with this money, and where is it gone?
Okay.
So that money, first of all, the allocation that we should be getting is about $30 million more as a state. And we just went through that with the legislature. The governor's proposed budget was to take another 30 away, but thank goodness the legislature, both parties, said no, you can't do that. So that money that is currently comes to us funds the entire transportation department. There's no other money for transportation, and that was the way it was structured. Because we did have the Highway User Revenue Fund tax that was passed many years ago. And so the way our government structure sets up, the only money we have for transportation, unless we make this special designation to set this money aside, is what the HERF fund brings. So we essentially fund all of our personnel, all of our existing road construction, anything for traffic lights, traffic signals, traffic controls, through that money. And our department is incredibly thin. And it's unfortunate because there's always maintenance, just the normal stuff, and it goes all to that. And we do what we can with what we have, but clearly we know that we need to do more. And that's why we're asking the voters, and we saw it over the last 5 years, the $100 million that we were able to do, $20 million a year for 5 years, made a substantial, substantial difference in this community. So, yeah, good question.
Linda Valdez.
Mayor, Bill was mentioning that some people feel the city should be punished and therefore people should vote against Prop 101. And one of the criticisms is that Tucson is a sanctuary city. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. We're not a sanctuary city. We comply with the existing federal law. That's our requirement. Part of the problem with that, and I think the most recent court case in California was very clear about, there's no definition of what a sanctuary mm-hmm. city is. And so it's become kind of a talking heads phrase. And by the way, from both sides of the aisle again, we see a lot of mayors and big cities talking about being a sanctuary city. But the fact of the matter is there is law, and going all the way to probable cause and reasonable suspicion and how our officers deal with people on the streets, we're in compliance with existing federal law. And then there's something called, I believe it's a 274G agreement. I may have the phrase wrong. But that's an ability, if a city or county wants to enter into an agreement to enforce federal immigration law. In current law, a city would have to agree to that, or a county. It's an unfunded mandate. So it's basically saying, we'll take on the federal work. That was really what 1070 was all about, SB 1070. Mm-hmm. And of course, we went to the United States Supreme Court. We substantially won the case, where the court said you cannot impose upon a city federal mandates unilaterally, unless the city wants to do so. We aren't a 274G city. I don't know that there are many in the country, because no city, no county can take on that federal obligation. So we're going to continue to do what we're supposed to do as a city legally. If a person is committing a crime that we can observe, we're going to make that stop. If it turns out that person is committing a criminal activity and we find out in the course of that investigation that they're not here legally, that will be processed through the appropriate channels. But, yeah, I don't understand that discussion to punish somebody for something that's sort of illusory. But I will tell you, Linda, what I've learned in this campaign is that if somebody wants to vote no, they'll find an excuse. I mean, yesterday I had someone say that she was going to vote for it, but we're going to fix our police helicopters, and she didn't like police helicopters. And, you know, I had one today that was like, well, your road work, you know, you go from one part of the city to the other, and why don't you just keep going in one place? And so people can find excuses. What I like to say is you can either wring your hands or you can fix the tractor. And I'm one of those people that wants to fix the tractor.
There was oversight and is oversight over on the five-year program that's been coming to a conclusion, and I assume there will be on this
program. Yeah, no, and it's been really great. Our road bond oversight committee is made up of people who know roads and have expertise on it, and that's why it's been so successful. Assuming this passes, we will have that same committee in place, and we're going to do the same thing on the public safety side. We're going to have a citizen oversight committee to make sure that the money is spent exactly as we have promised the voters it would. And the beautiful thing about this is not general fund money. This is money that's segregated and has to be spent on the schedule as it's been put forth to the voters. So people will be able to check, did you do what you said you were going to do? And I think that's really important. I think that's one of the things that we've lost in this country overall. It's really easy to be distrustful of government because that's kind of the discussion that goes around. And government, in response, has to be very careful to build that trust. And I think that's a fair proposition. You know, on 409, we did what we said we were going to do. So now we're coming back again, not asking for money forever, but for 5 years. And then again, at that, did we do what we said we were going to do? And the people have an ability to tell.
And the 409 expires when?
Next year, so we're in the last year of it.
And you got more for the bang for the buck than you had suspected?
By about 30%. And that was, number one, it was showing that we could do the work the way we said we would. But we you know, there were circumstances. Our fuel costs were much lower than, you know, what they were 5 years ago. The other part about that, though, is all that road money, the work is done by private contractors in the community. So it's money that we're essentially putting right back into the community. The same thing with the police and fire, to some extent. Part of what we're doing is rebuilding fire stations. That'll be done by people here in the community. So it's really a way to help our economy, both directly but also indirectly, because I can tell you when businesses come to visit us, they definitely are riding the roads. They're definitely looking at that. But they do ask about public safety. They want to make sure they live in a safe community.
Linda talked a little bit about the university and the bonding issue that is apparently now going to move forward with the budget. How is the university's relationship now with the city in the surrounding area right now?
You know, we have a new president coming in.
Right.
I think that's going to be very interesting to watch. I'm hoping that the new president very much engages the community. There's a lot, you know, this community, as you know, Bill, until recently has had three pillars. We're more diverse now, but it's been the University of Arizona, Davis, Monthan, and Raytheon.
That's it.
You know, the University of Arizona has to be an affirmative catalyst in our community, and has to engage the community. And
some say that has kind of been lost over the last few years.
Some have said that.
I'm putting that very charitable.
But I'm hopeful. I'm you know, this new president, when he comes in, he's going to be drinking from a fire hose. Yeah. There's just no question
on
about
June
that.
1st, Dr. Robbins will be taking over. Yep.
And so we're going to have to, and we're going to, I've met him. Mm-hmm. He seems very experienced, very skilled, but I know that he has a lot to learn about our community. And that's, you know, I'm sure it's not going to happen overnight, and he's going to have his priorities. But we're going to try to, and I'm going to try to get to him, and the county folks are going to try to get to him, and we're going to put ourselves right in front of him and say, you have got to be a community player, and hopefully that'll happen.
Linda, a quick final question or two?
Quick final question. I don't know how quick it's going to be, but downtown has really come a long way, but there is still a huge problem with homelessness down there. They just line up on that street next to the library, and it doesn't make it a very pleasant place to walk around. Doesn't feel safe. So what's being done about that?
Yeah, so there's a couple things, and I would quarrel a little bit, but I understand the optics of what you're saying because I see it too. I would ask you to go to any city in the United States and look at their issue. So we've actually done a really good job in our community, but what you're seeing is the most difficult population to address. It's a population that tends to have active either substance abuse, either drugs or alcohol, or mental illness. And the key to that is finding low-demand housing. So what we're trying to do as a city is increase the call for low-demand housing. We just put up Community Bridges, which is over by Rocks and Ropes, if you know where that is. And that's a place where we're able to take people. And really, it's a question of bringing these people in, finding a place for them to go. And that's difficult when somebody's in the condition that a lot of these folks are. We've done a really good job of getting those who we can get off the streets, off the streets. And we just have to keep working at it, finding places, finding facilities. And it is something in this community that we need more work on, is to get that low-demand housing up where people can go that are tough to deal with.
Right. Well, those tough to deal with people, we've known they need help for quite some time, yep. And it hasn't happened.
Yep. No, and that's principally because most of our money comes from the federal government, and they've been very clear, and I get it. Look, we want to get as many people off the street so that low-demand housing, your ratio of, you know, staff to people is like 1-to-1 or 2-to-1. Whereas if you go with people that are just have gotten into homelessness for another reason, you can maybe put 15, 20 people with one or two people. So it really is a cost issue. Arizona Department of Housing has been really good to Tucson. Michael Traylor has been good to Tucson. And so we've put up a lot of housing, but that last focus population, and I don't know that you ever completely clean it up because there's always people coming along, but we need to have more facilities, and we're working towards getting it.
And a final word on economic development. The last time you were with us a couple of months ago, you said the economic development that we've seen is probably as great as anything we've seen since the end of World War II in this community.
Yeah, no, it has been. We've had a really good two-year run. We're going to try to keep it up. We'll see what happens. We've had a couple good announcements in the last couple months. Bayview Financial has added, I think, 350 employees here. Hexacon could have moved and is staying and expanding. So those are good wins for us. It's going to be interesting over the next couple years because a lot of our success was based on our proximity to Mexico and our good relations with Mexico. We're out there talking about it. We're working really hard with our Sonoran partners, but it's not going to be just an issue for Tucson. It's going to be an issue for Arizona. And quite frankly, the governor's been good about that. Certainly Mayor Stanton's been good about that, but we'll see how it plays out. But we'll keep working every day, making calls, talking to people, and trying to get them to Tucson. It's a great place to live, and it's a great place to work.
I said that was going to be my last question, but I just thought of one real quick one about that. The follow-up as far as Mexican shoppers, are we hearing anything about through the first part of the year? Has traffic diminished because of whatever kind of the negativity surrounding the border issues?
Yeah, the word I've been getting is that it has decreased. I'm not sure what the significance of that decrease is, but I do know, and I was recently down in Obregon, and I know Greg was recently in Hermosillo, and we are hearing from some of the people there that
a hesitance, perhaps.
Yeah, they're just not happy. It's not, you know, I mean, it's not a question of, these are people who have the absolute right to come in. Mm-hmm. They have visas. Mm-hmm. They have the right to come and cross the border, but they're saying, you know, if we're not feeling welcome, why would we come? And of course, we're saying, absolutely, you're welcome in our community, and you're safe, and you're protected. But, you know, we work at a local level, and those macro factors can influence what happens. But again, we're going to do everything we can.
All right. Have to go with the mayor. Thank you very much, sir, and appreciate you coming by. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it, Bill.
Mayor Rothschild with us on the Buckmaster Show. Sarah Garrett Gasson will be joining us telephonically for our reporters roundtable portion of the Buckmaster Show. Linda will stick around. We'll be right back after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is T. Van Hook, CEO of Habitat for Humanity Tucson. Are you or someone you know ready to purchase a safe, affordable home? We are currently seeking individuals and families to become the owners of new and refurbished homes in the greater Tucson area. At Habitat Tucson, we believe that everyone deserves a decent, affordable place to call home. For information, visit us at habitattucson.org or call us at 326-1217. Habitat Tucson is an equal housing opportunity provider.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Reporters Roundtable portion of our Friday hour that we do from noon to 1. Well, we're here every weekday, noon to 1, but on Friday we talk with and welcome in different reporters. Linda Valdez is here, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Republic, the state's largest paper, and Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us on the live line. Sarah has pretty much the same title as Linda, editorial writer, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Sarah, how are you?
I am well, and I want to say happy anniversary to you and your lovely wife.
Thank you very much. It's easy to remember Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, yes.
There's always a celebration going on, which gives it somewhat of a festive air. We just had the mayor on. Sarah, I'm sure you were listening, and I wanted to talk about your editorial in last Sunday's paper, Vote Yes on 101. As I said to the mayor, Sarah, the negativity on the other side on this is like, let's punish this consul. That seems to be at least the message I'm hearing. What about you?
Yes, I think you're right about that. I've heard some pushback against the our editorial and the proposition, and the complaints or the negative arguments against it seem to be, we're paying too many taxes, I don't like taxes, the city council should have done something different previously, they should get their act together and fix it, that there's probably untold millions that the city is wasting, which just isn't true. And then also, and I think this criticism is a little different, and it's coming from Brian Flagg, and his organization, saying that for people who rely on public transportation, a predominantly low-income group, a sales tax of any kind can be can hit them harder than higher-income people. But also, if you don't have a car and you rely on public transportation, all these fixes aren't things that you would use the same way that you would if. Sorry, I need to go. I'll call you back. Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay.
Maybe I could just pick up on that, Bill.
Sure.
I think you get so tired of hearing this no taxes mantra, because taxes have been cut year after year on the state level, and we're left with schools that are not sufficiently funded to do the job. They're facing lawsuits. And from the city's perspective, the cities have also been cut. They've lost money from the state. And if you drive on the roads and expect the police to come and expect the fire department to respond, you have to be willing to pay taxes. We don't live in silos. We live in a community. And part of that deal is that you pay to support the services everyone takes for granted. And there's been such an effort over decades, really, to completely discredit the idea of paying taxes. No one likes to pay taxes, but we need to do that if we want to live in a community, especially if we want to live in a community that functions efficiently.
Do you really want your paramedic truck to break down on the way to a life-saving call?
Exactly, exactly. Who would you blame then? Yeah. Who would you blame?
And you wrote about taxes, I think it was yesterday.
I did, yes.
On the state level. And you know, this gets us to now the budget. I call it kind of the dead of the night budget. Did we go that way again?
We did. It was passed in the early hours of this morning.
Keeping with tradition of 2 to 3 a.m.
Exactly.
Like
it's a very austere budget. Well, the thing that was holding up the budget was the university bonding part of it. That was actually separated out. That was a proposal that Governor Ducey put in the beginning, and there was a lot of discomfort among some of the more conservative Republicans who didn't like bonding, and others who were simply suspicious of what goes on at the universities. And so they separated that piece out. The Democrats tried to use that for leverage and failed to do so. So there was a lot of last-minute dealing that to buy Republican votes on that. Democrats ultimately did come on to that part as well. But yes, that passed, which is, as the mayor was pointing out, really a good thing for universities. The regents were very thrilled with it. But the budget itself remains a very austere budget. We're not funding much above the levels we were funding during the recession.
Is there something special about when the budget is introduced and then pushing it through in like 24 hours. I mean, why do we do that?
I don't know.
I mean, because the session is not over.
No, they're going to come back next week to do a few things, possibly to restore another year of TANF payments. I don't know why they do it that way. I guess once they get the momentum going, they're going to hold you there until they're done.
I mean, most people really aren't at their best at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, maybe some people are, but
well, maybe that's why they do it. Then they wear them down until they get the votes.
Sam has called us. Sam wants to talk about the city and the sales tax. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Bill. Hey, Linda. So, you know, thinking about the city sales tax, you know, it's not that people, like, I would love to give the city a little bit more money, you know, but it's always a little distrust with the city of Tucson. You know, with Marana and Oro Valley, it's a little easier, but it's a long line of distrust with the city that, are we going to give them the money and is it going to work out? Is it more in the end? Because, you know, the echoes of Rio Nuevo always shine across the city's budget and budget woes, so it's kind of hard for residents to, like, are we doing the right thing this time? Are we finally going to get the right thing done? So Sam, that's my idea on it.
Sam, it sounds like for you it's kind of a trust thing.
Yeah. It's not that I don't respect the, you know, taxes are important, because otherwise we don't get our police or fire or roads, but sometimes it feels like we're getting the short end of the stick, and it's like, are we really getting the bang for our tax dollars that we already spend? And sometimes it always feels like, are we really getting it?
That's a good point. Thank you, Sam, for joining us. And I think all we can do, the mayor pointed out, there was the oversight with the 5-year road bond project, and he said there will be oversight for this as well.
This is true, and I mean, I certainly take Sam's point. Rio Nuevo was quite a disaster when it comes to wasting money. No question about that. It was poorly handled. But as you said, this last effort was well handled. And these are very specific and concrete things that they're doing that are much easier to measure than some of the things that that were done with Rio Nuevo.
12:47 coming up on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday roundtable. Sarah Garrett Gasson had some urgent business and she had to leave us. Linda Valdez is with me in studio. And Linda, I do want to touch on your piece about, I did not realize that, first of all, Southern Arizona likes to bill itself, as you know, as kind of the astronomy center for the United States. And part of that is the fact that we have what they call dark skies.
We do indeed. We do indeed. And we have had we had protections for those dark skies. We still do. There was a compromise put into place in 2012 where electronic billboards, which contribute greatly to light pollution, they were allowed in certain urban corridors and banned through the rest of the state. This was a compromise that the industry made with the astronomers, and it was a compromise that served the industry, because prior to that, electronic billboards were illegal in Arizona. Well, now this year, the legislature expanded the area. They are going to allow electronic billboards in parts of Mojave County. And it's, you know, the argument is made, oh, Mojave County wants the economic development, and it's far enough away from sites that it won't do any damage. But it's actually, it really represents an erosion of that compromise. And as I put it in my piece, it's sort of, the legislature likes to talk about not picking one industry, not picking winners and losers. In this case, they picked the outdoor advertising industry as the winner, and it may, in the long run, really hurt Arizona's astronomy industry, which is huge.
So it's a foot in the door, certainly, if not the beginning of an erosion of something that had been pretty sacred, keeping this whole dark skies concept.
Well, and it's something that really is a resource that is really valuable to Arizona. When years ago, when Jan Brewer vetoed a bill that would have allowed electronic billboards across the state. She said that astronomy was a $1.2 billion industry. That was years ago.
All right, Linda, what should we look for in the weekend edition of The Republic? Do you have some work coming up?
Well, we're gonna opine on the budget, of course.
Of course.
And the big thing to come out of the legislature. So we'll be opining on that.
So next session, or this session, will probably adjourn then next week. Is that kind of what you're
thinking?
They've
extended it, I believe, until Thursday.
Okay. What's still to do?
The only thing that, the biggest thing I know is the possible extension of TANF, the aid to families, the welfare, so-called welfare, which was cut several years ago to 1 year, the shortest in the country. There's an effort to expand it, and that's on the table.
All right, Linda Valdez of the Arizona Republic. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Bill.
And we're going to take our break right here, come back with Matt Russell. Matt does our weekend watch segment, and he will tell us he's got some great ideas to celebrate Cinco de Mayo right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At the Pima County Public Library, we are powering possibilities. Every day, in person and online, we help you connect, learn, create, and achieve your dreams. Come browse our shelves or take a class, pursue your passion, and connect with others. Do you dream big? We do. Anything is possible at your local library. Call 791-4010 or visit library.pima.gov to be inspired today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Looking for a great weekend getaway? What about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico? I strongly recommend this trip. It's only a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do. Some really fine dining in historic downtown Silver City. And, of course, you want to do some hiking. Great time of year in the Gila National Wilderness. And it's only, it's about 7,000 foot elevation. Makes for very pleasant days and still some cool nights. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full listing of the many places stay and the many things to do. A gentleman who always is looking for a good meal, and he knows where to get them, Mr. Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Food and Beverage, Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, and he's ready for Cinco de Mayo. Hello, Matt.
Hey there. I am certainly ready. Been waiting 364 days for this, and let me say happy anniversary to
Thank
you and
you.
Your beautiful bride. Very, very cool. Well, you'll have a lot of to do to celebrate tonight. You can imagine there's lots of Cinco celebrations happening.
Well, that's why we chose this for a wedding day. There's always going to be a party.
There's a lot of wisdom in that for sure. Now, some of my favorites include the Cinco de Mayo Fiesta at Blanco up at La Encantada. They've got happy hour drink specials all day until 6 o'clock, including a refreshing one, perfect for today, the pineapple and coconut margarita.
Mm.
Food specials this afternoon from 3 to 6, or you can head up to the Colibri Lounge at the Hilton El Conquistador for $2 street tacos and El Con margaritas for only $5. Of course, however you choose to celebrate, please do it responsibly. It's going to be a fun night.
And it's a great weekend, not only Cinco de Mayo, but Derby Day tomorrow.
The Run for the Roses, absolutely, tomorrow afternoon. And Three Canyon Beer and Wine Garden over there on Sabino Canyon Road, they have an epic Kentucky Derby Day party planned with some great barbecue, some bourbon barrel-aged beers, premium wines, live bluegrass, champagne, the list goes on and on, contests for best hat even, all starting at noon tomorrow and going all the way up to 6 p.m. $45 gets you a wristband and access to all the fun. The call to post is near, Bill.
And I'm all in with tequila. That means I will really like the Agave Fest down at Hotel Congress.
Happening right after the Derby Day event. Yep, downtown Hotel Congress, the annual Agave Fest, as you said. An entire evening dedicated to some pretty spectacular tequilas and mezcals and bacanoras, sotols, and other agave-based spirits. Admission is only $30. Now, the festivities start at 6. And there's going to be live music and wonderful food from the Cup Cafe, even a cocktail competition among local mixologists. Now, of course, I'm privileged to be serving as MC at this event this year again, and I'm going to be on the lookout for all my Buckmaster Show brethren as we lift high our glasses of this sensational Sonoran spirit.
Hey, Matt, I can't recall a weekend when there are so many great opportunities. I'm jazzed. I love it. Thank you.
We got it in surround sound all weekend long.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great weekend.
Cheers.
All right. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch. Also want to promo Mr. Charles Heller, does such a nice job for us with his local talk on Sunday. And what could Arizona do to have a better economy? Charles will be speaking with the Goldwater Institute's Dr. Savoni, on things we could do to unclog the economic plumbing. Then at noon, Captain Mike Guardia returns to talk about the largest tank battle since World War II. That happened in Iraq in Desert Storm. Liberty Watch and America Armed and Free Sunday right after Swap Shop at 10 a.m. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. A lot of people to thank who do such a great job for us. I will start with Rosemary Brandt. my fine assistant who makes sure all of our podcasts are posted in such a timely manner. For all the Buckmaster Show fans, we've got all of our programs archived. Also, Doug and Mary Martin, the owners of this fine radio station, operations manager Ray Allen, production ace Jerry Cross, Ed Alexander, of course, Tom Fairbanks, who engineers and produces my program on Friday. Our original theme music by the fine young Munich, Germany composer named Christophan. His music, a link to it, is available on our website, buckmastershow.com. On behalf of all of us here at KVOI and the Buckmaster team, we wish you a very pleasant afternoon and evening and a great weekend.